The Daily Witness is not just a podcast, but originally started as a gospel newspaper. Trevor van Vieren Ministries distributes this newspaper free of charge, paid for by partners and friends. If you have not received a copy of this newspaper in your mailbox, feel free to download a copy from our website, www.thedailywitness.co.za. And now, enjoy today's podcast.
You know what the scripture is for this series? Go to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. Okay. Now, as you know, we prayed at the beginning of the year because God knows His flock. He knows His sheep. He knows them inside and out. What did Jesus say? He said this: the Father is the husbandman. He's the gardener. So He's the one that knows how to tend the garden. We don't. And He said, we are the branches, He's the vine, and the Father's the husbandman. You can say He's the gardener. He's the one that works in the garden house, and He knows how to tend the garden. He knows what we need. So what does that mean? Does that mean we can go and preach any old sermon we want to? No. You're taking a risk. Then I'm trying to take God's spot. And I'll tell you what, I'm not good at that. So we've got to pray and seek the Lord, because there's things that He knows. He knows what lies ahead. He knows what the people need to hear. And He said, this year, I want you to focus on intimacy. I want you to focus on intimacy with Me. And this is something that is lacking in the church today. So we're going to look at our text, John chapter 17 and verse 3. So you'll hear a very popular term. You need eternal life. You know, Jesus Christ gives eternal life. And what's the first thing that crops up on their mind? They think it means to be saved. They think it means once I give my life to Jesus, I get to go to the other side and I can live for all eternity in heaven and I can be with my Savior. But what about the people who reject Jesus? What happens to them? They also continue to live. Did you know that there is no spirit that gets absolutely destroyed and wiped off and ceases to exist? There's no such thing. Everybody is living. Hitler is still living. He's just not living on this side. Mussolini is still living. He's just not living on this side. So what does that mean? Does that mean they got eternal life too? No. Eternal life is best described by the head of the church, Jesus Christ Himself. And this is why we keep going over this again and again and again, because it bears record in your spirit. And He says this. Here's the definition of eternal life. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Jesus says this. This is eternal life. God wants you to know Him. Whew. Can we just camp on that? Think about that. You can actually know God. But let's just flip over quickly to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. And He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Overcometh, past tense. Overcometh the world. He's not talking about the earth here. If you've been a part of this ministry, you know that we bring this up quite a lot. The Greek word for this describes a government. Okay? What government? Well, Satan's got a government. He's got a system. He's got a world system that is in full operation. And it's just there to keep people in bondage. It's there to keep people trapped. Because don't forget, he is the one that wanted to be God. And we know about that because Jesus tells us that. He says, I beheld Satan and he fell from heaven like lightning. And then he also told us in another place in the book of Isaiah, it said that Satan was checking out God and how he's doing things, you know. And then he tried to mimic God, because we see that in the book of Genesis. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and, you know, let there be the green herb and all that, and it bears its own fruit, and so forth and so on. And Satan tried to mimic that exact same principle. He wanted to be God. And, reality kicked in. And he fell down like lightning. So, he's still the God of this world. Jesus refers to him as the prince of this world. Just before he's about to go to the cross, he says, now the prince of this world is coming, but he found nothing in me. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, talks about Satan is the god of this world. And what does he do? He blinds the minds of them that don't believe. So whenever you're coming across someone who does not believe in the gospel, and they're like, oh, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in all this stuff, understand what's behind that. He's blinded in his mind. He's blinded in his mind. That's why he can't see the truth. But here's the good news. Even though, and let's just touch quickly on Satan, because this is very important. Remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? And Satan said, if you just bow down to me, I will give you all of this. And he was showing him all the kingdoms and the glory thereof and so forth. And he said, if you bow down to me, he says, I'll give it to you. And watch this. He says, because it was given to me. Now, a lot of people are deceived in this and they say, now, you see, there again, Satan's just a liar. How can he give something to God that doesn't belong to him? No. If it was not true, it would not be a temptation. Jesus was tempted. So, yes, it was given to him. When was it given to him? Well, when Adam and Eve, they committed high treason. And then that ownership, remember God gave everything to Adam and Eve? And when Adam and Eve submitted to the devil, inadvertently, the ownership was passed over to Satan. And then you'll see from there, you see all this destruction that comes in the earth and murder and so forth and so on. And I mean, it just goes from bad to worse. And then, I mean, they just got into sin. I mean, it was just crazy. But anyway, that's that system. And Satan is referred to as the god of this world. Now watch this. We were talking about in last week's message, and we're going to pick up on that, and I wasn't planning on going on this, but Spirit of God wanted us to go in that direction. So praise the Lord. Thank you for your prayer, brother. That was answered. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, and it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You are born of God. Here's the good news. You get to overcome the world because of him. But how do we do that? Let's read the rest of the verse. He says, and this is the victory, not defeat, not failure, not sometimes. Well, we don't know if it's the will of God. No, he only talks about victory in this verse. He says, this is the victory that overcometh, past tense, overcometh the world, what's that? Even our faith. So that's how you overcome the bondages and the traps and all of that junk that the enemy has set up for you. For instance, We know that crime is rampant. We are not foolish. We are not oblivious to this. And it's not just in our country, it's worldwide. Why? Because Satan's not the God of South Africa. He's the God of the whole world. You know? But guess what? Yes, we know that crime is a reality. Yes, we know that these Okies are walking around with different types of weapons and so forth. But you don't have to put up with it. Why? Because we have already got the victory. How do we overcome this? By our faith. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What is that based in? Love. Why did God do that for you? Because He loves you. He knows you didn't ask for this. He knows you came along and you said, I didn't sign up for this. He understands all that. So He put something in place to always give you the victory, and you've got your place of authority over the devil. You understand? Okay. Now, while we are here in the same book, flip over to, well, one chapter back, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and then we're going to look at verse 16. And this is what we said. This is what sets us apart. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. This is what we picked up on last week. God is love. And then I also said, but you can flip it around because His name is not God, but He is love. Love is God. Let that sink in a little bit. Think about that. Love is God. What is God? God is just a general term that you use across all religions to give you a definition of who is the supreme being, who's the guy at the top, who's the boss man. And in our religion, love is God. Love is at the very top. And I heard this, and I'm just going to say it quickly. You'll see in all other religions, people give their lives for their God. And in ours, our God, who is love, gave His life for us. That's what sets us apart. Man, I tell you what, that is good stuff. Love is God, and God is love. And I want you to say that, I want you to engage with me, and I want you to say that out loud. Say, God is love.
God is love.
And then say this, love is God.
Love is God.
And then say this, love loves me.
Love loves me.
And say, God loves me.
God loves me.
And God is love.
And God is love.
And love is God.
And love is God.
And love loves me.
And love loves me.
I am loved. Now I want you guys to, we're just going to go through some scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. And I tell you what, it would be good for you to rehearse that. And it would be good for you to think about that. And it would be good for you to mutter that under your breath throughout the day. And you can even pray to Him that way. And you can call Him love. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic. Chapter 3, verse 17. Yeah. Now, before we read these verses, and I want you to pay very, very close attention to this as I'm reading these scriptures. I want you to take notes on this and so forth. But like I said in last week's message, if I had to tell you that God loves you, and I mean there's so many Christians that have told people that, and it just doesn't have that power to grab someone's attention, you know, telling them, hey, God loves you, man. Jesus of Nazareth loves you. It doesn't have that power because as I've mentioned before, a lot of people aren't even convinced themselves that God loves them. And when you know it down here on the inside of you, as opposed to up here, man, it comes out in power. And you can influence others. But if you're not even convinced, how are you going to convince someone else? And it's going to sound like a microphone that's not even on. And you're on the one side of the hall and you're shouting, God loves you. And the people are going to be like, what did he say? So what am I saying? There's more to this. There's depth to the love of God. So let's read this. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic first. And he says this in verse 17, may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Well, that's a whole lot better than just God loves you. Let's read a little bit further here. That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints. So this is not just for you. This is not just for the minister. What God wants is a church full of people having a rich understanding of how much God loves them. And then they gather together and they're fellowshipping about it. And this guy is sharing with that sister. This is what I saw about the love of God. And that mama is sharing with that Oki there in the back. You know, this is what I saw about the love of God. And this is so much better than just God loves you. Yeah, God loves you, and you just look there with a deadpan face. But when you have a rich understanding, watch this. He says that you have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. That's way more convincing. You holding someone's attention. Because I can talk from a place of experience. That's what God wants. He doesn't want you walking around there and you meeting some atheist. And your heart's in the right place. But I'm sorry, sometimes you just got to know when to shut up. And not do any damage. Spend some time working on you first. Spend some time with God, some intimacy time. He wants you to know Him. So that when you go out there, you're full of power. You are strong. You are convincing. When you talk, you're holding their attention. Renee was doing that. Was it this week? Well done. The experience of that love. Watch this. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? Did you ever take the time to consider that the love of God has got depth? Did you ever take the time to consider that the love of God has got height? It's got width? It's got breadth? I think some people will hear this for the very first time in their life. How does that come against your religion? God loves you. Just take it from me. But when you come and start going in depth, and you talk from your experience, and you're talking about the depth of the love of God, and how deep this goes, and how wide His love is. You know, Megan says this to me, I love you to the moon and back. That's a scriptural thing to say. It's talking about distance. That's what we're reading here, Ephesians chapter 3. That's where she gets it from. Instead of just saying, I love you. Yeah, I love you. It's so boring. that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ. Wow. God wants you to experience His love. Isn't that amazing? You know what happened to me one day? I'm just going to give a testimony. I was still working out in the world, and I worked in an industrial area. And so in that area, you had a uniform. And I went to work, and I'd take my Bible with me, and I'd take a whole lot of stuff with me, you know, anything related to God. You know, I just love Him. So I took my Bible out, and I started reading my Bible, and it was just another ordinary day. Now, what am I about to do? I'm about to tell you about the depth of His love. I'm minding my own business. I'm going to read some scripture now. What was about to happen next, I did not see that coming. I was minding my own business, and I was just reading through the scripture. But you see, I do my part. I hang out with Him. Show up. It makes a difference. So I was that's why I encourage people, just read your Bible. Just read. Make it a habit. Do it every day. I promise you, He wants to give you experience. But if you don't show up, you're never going to experience that love. And He wants you to experience it. There's some depth that you need to experience. There's some height that you need to experience. So there I was, and I was just reading the scripture and so forth. You know what happened to me? Just like that, boom, He spoke on the inside of me. But it was so bold, and it was so holy. And this is what He said. He said, "You are my son." But God, when He speaks, it's multidimensional, you know. He says a whole lot of things in like three or four words. I don't know how He does that. But do you know, at the same time, He was saying, "You are royalty. You are part of the royal family. I'm your dad, the king." And I tell you what, I did not want to look down. It affected me. I thought to myself, and this was, you know, I was still wet behind the ears. So here's the thing. I didn't even want to look at my clothes as if He couldn't see it. You know, God forgive me. But I didn't even want to look at my clothes. I just wanted to look up. I could feel that word was so powerful, it was actually lifting me up. And He was saying, "What are you doing there?" That's the love of God. God sees so much value in you. There's literally millions of believers that don't know that they're part of the royal family. And just because you're seeing Christians being persecuted and looked down on and beat up and so forth, that's not the first thing that comes across your mind. But there's going to come a day when Jesus comes and fetches His church. I tell you what, you're going to see who you are. He calls us kings and priests unto Him. He calls us kings and priests unto our God. You ladies are queens of the Most High, whether you feel like it or not. Your royal status is not going away, even if you never ever believe it while you're on the earth. Scripture talks about crowns that He's going to give. And then let me read it. We're back to Ephesians chapter 3. I just want to read it from the Passion Translation because it says it so nicely. Verse 17. Watch this. "Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you." Watch this, man, this is so good. "And the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life." The resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Did you know that everything in Christ is rooted in the love of God. Everything. And if you don't understand how much God loves you, your faith is not going to work. The gifts of the Spirit are not going to work. The fruits of the Spirit are not going to work. Because everything is based in the love of God. Let's read further. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. I like that. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. The love of God has dimensions. Can you see why saying, God loves you, God loves you, that's not enough? Because you're not even tapping into the depth of it. Now, how do you get to know about the love of God? Well, it's very simple. You spend time in this, and you get to know His nature. Remember, what is the theme for this year? The theme for this year is to actually get to know Him. That's what He wants. And He said this to me. I woke up probably half past three this morning. You know what I did? I just laid there in bed and I meditated about my message. Other people grab their phone and scroll. I ain't condemning you. I was laying there and meditating on the message. And right there, the Lord spoke a word in my heart. And when I heard it, I never looked at it that way before. But that's why we have these quiet times with Him. It's so beautiful. He said this to me. It all started with fellowship in the garden. It all started with intimacy in the garden. And He said this, that's what I have always wanted. But due to sin, people put themselves first. Think about that. Sin is very selfish. When you sin, you're doing it for yourself. And you know who lost that day in the garden? Everyone says Adam and Eve because they fell and, you know, the curse. And no. It was God who lost. Because He lost that intimacy. That closeness that He wanted. This was His idea. I mean, God's very extravagant, you know. He gave two guys a whole earth. I mean, has anyone ever thought about that? That's crazy. You know, when you hear stories how people get blessed with a house and you think, wow, that's awesome, man. What a great testimony. Adam and Eve got an entire earth. Wow. And then God said, you the boss. And then this was His plan. He wanted to walk with them in the cool of the day and just have this intimate relationship with them. Day by day. And they'd sit and talk and say, okay, how are we going to expand the garden? Dad, what do you say about this? Well, I'll move over there. What do you want to do, boy? And that's how it was supposed to be. And Adam and Eve never even got to experience that. The very first time that God walked in the cool of the day was saying, where are you? You know, when people read that, they actually think, because they don't know that His love, they don't know that His love. What do they think? This is what they think. God was angry with them. I just gave you an entire planet. And what do? You go and goof it off with sin. Where are you? Where are you? Come on out. Wrong perspective. Absolutely wrong perspective. He was love in the beginning, and He's still love today. This is what He was saying. Where are you? He knew where they were. That's God being gentle. Didn't condemn them. They were the ones running their mouths off, you know. Adam went like, "Is that that woman you gave me?" And she said, "Ooh, it was that serpent over there." And when he spoke, he told them, "Here's the consequences. It's not me judging you. Unfortunately, this is the consequences to your decision." He was just being a good parent. You know what he did? Shame. They came with a set of fig leaves, you know, to cover their nakedness. You know what Dad did? He said, "Come over here. Let's fix this up." And he sacrificed an animal for the very first time. And he made them proper clothes. Why? Because he loved them. He never ever condemned them. He loved them. How long do you think those leaves were going to last anyway? Amen. So we're about to leave the Garden of Eden now. And I just want to go over quickly to Psalm 100. Go there. Go to Psalm 100. We're talking about getting to know Him. We're talking about intimacy with Him. We're talking about developing and cultivating your relationship with Him. And you actually having the right perception for a change and actually seeing Him as love 24 hours a day. If you had to wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, that's where your mind should go straight away. Your mind should go to love loves me. Love is my God. That is where your mind should go to. When you wake up in the morning, you should have this mindset. He's so happy that I'm awake. He wants to spend time with me. He loves me. People don't think like that. Where does that? Psalm 100. Go to Psalm 100. And I'm reading specifically from the Amplified Classic. And I'm going to read verse 5. And what did we talk about last week? We were talking about how love came into their lives. And He delivered them from the Egyptians. Because the Egyptians were nasty. The Egyptians were wicked. The Egyptians were busy tormenting them. And all they had to do was cry out. But they put up with it, you know, for 400 years. Until someone said, this doesn't seem to be the will of God. Let's pray. Let's try it out. As soon as they did that, He heard their cry. Why? He loves them. He's waiting for them to ask. And of course, we know the story, and He delivered them and so forth. But they were so ungrateful, and they blamed Him for a lot of things. And they did this, and they did that, and you know, sometimes, a lot of the times actually, they got really nasty about it, really ugly. And He just stayed with it all the time. That is absolutely amazing. So I'm reading Psalm 100. Why Psalm 100 and verse 5, and I'm reading from the Amplified Classic? Because I want you to get a better picture of His nature with a bunch of people that didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve His everlasting love. Check this. For the Lord is good. His mercy and His loving kindness are everlasting. Look at that. His mercy and His loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness and truth endure to all generations. That's a long time. Generations, plural. How many generations did He have to put up with? How many generations basically turned their back on Him? You know, this is the way I see it. They're looking that way, and they're just walking away from him, and he's this side, and he's chasing after them. But they got their back against him all the time. All the time. I mean, we just read about it. Complaining, you know, and it escalated, eh? They started to become really bold. They first tried it with a couple of oaks here on the ground, and then they graduated in their sin. And then they started attacking Moses and Aaron, and then they got really bold and they spoke against God himself. Ungrateful. They were being whipped. They were tortured in Egypt, and he came and set them free. And he did it in a miraculous way as well. He was showing off his love to them, and they could not see it. I mean, there was a darkness over in the land of Egypt, so dark. It was so thick. The Bible actually says it was thick, where you put your hand in front of your face and you couldn't even see your hand. But you know what? There was light in the land of Goshen. That was love. He was doing that for them. It was payback time for Pharaoh and his boys, you know. That was all love. And when he set them free and he took them out, you know what they did? They said, oh, Moses is taking a long time. And they said, bring all your earrings and so forth. And they went and made a calf and bowed down to that thing. Now, put yourself in God's shoes. You the one that delivered this whole nation, okay? You did it. And while you're busy talking to Moses and you're giving him instruction for their benefit, they busy whoring after other gods. And then they're giving the glory to something that they made with their own hands. How must that make you feel? A waste of time. An absolute waste of time. But you know what? He stuck it out. This is what we're talking about here. For the Lord is good. Oh, yeah, he's good. Oh, yeah, he's good. His mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. Well, it had to be. And his faithfulness and truth endure to all generations. I mean, he just stuck with them. And they just kept rejecting him. And they just stuck with him. Listen to this. Flip over quickly to Numbers. Go to the book of Numbers 22. Numbers 22. Yeah. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here quickly. But this is what I want you to see. The children of Israel, they spoke against Moses and God. We talked about that in the last meeting. And they actually were bad-mouthing God. I mean, of course, it's going to bring some form of judgment. And so all of that's going on and so forth. Now watch this. Outside the camp of Israel, they don't know what's going on, but Satan's busy plotting on the outside. Quite a distance, by the way, because I watched something that's on this. And we're going to get into this now, the book of Numbers. But watch this. While Satan was plotting to try and curse the children of Israel, God was busy listening. Why? He's busy protecting his people. That's his. They didn't know how much he loved them. They had no cooking clue. Check this. Numbers chapter 22, and I'm going to read in verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us as the ox licks up the grass of the field?" I love their quotes in those days, you know. "You're just going to have these guys come and lick up everything that we work for?" And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messages, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of the people, to call him, and said, "Behold, there's a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against us. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Curse me this people. For they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail that we may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you blessest is blessed, and he whom you cursed, who you curse is cursed." And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam, and they spake to him the words of Balak. So what's going on here? Balaam was well known for cursing. He had a very good reputation. If he blessed someone, they got blessed. If he cursed someone, they were cursed. And that was the end of that. And now all this gossiping, this conniving, is taking place outside of the camp of Israel. And I wonder to myself, if they knew what the enemy was planning and plotting against them, would they have spoken against Moses and God the way they did? Would they have taken him for granted the way they did? Would they have pushed the boundaries with their God, and all the time he was just trying to protect them? That's the love of God. And let's go to chapter 23. Balaam, the Lord spoke to Balaam, and he said, "Don't curse them." Listen, that was after they backbit God. Can you see that loving kindness that endures to all generations? Now, eventually, Balaam gets the word and he says to Balak, "I'm sorry, I can't curse them. The children of Israel don't even know this is going on. They got no cooking clue that God's on the outside over there protecting them. They got no cooking clue that he's doing that." And this is what Balaam said to Balak, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Wow. Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied?" And then he goes in and he blesses them. This is all happening while these ungrateful people are on the other side. They don't know that this is happening. Now we flip over and I just want to read verse 19 of chapter 23. And he says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed, and I cannot reverse it." Despite how ungrateful these people were to him, God still said, "You are blessed." Go to 1 Samuel. This touched me. And then I'm going to end here. 1 Samuel and chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're talking about getting to know God intimately. You come to a place where you get it. He is love. God is love. And you start seeing it. You see it in the lives of the people of the past. And you can see how faithful God was. Well, how do we know He's faithful? Because the nation of Israel is still existing to this day. Who do you think is keeping these guys alive? Now, this was the plan that God had for His people all the time. They were not to have a king because He was their king. And He is the one that would speak through the prophet, and the prophet would go and deliver the message to the nation. That was the order of the day. And this ungrateful bunch said, no, we're looking at the nations around us. We want a king. And they cried. And they cried. That was a sin, man. How do you do that? How do you do that to someone who so loves you, that delivered you miraculously, made your enemy look like a total fool? How do you do that? That's literally slapping him in the face. And I want you to see the heart of God in all of this. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7. Samuel goes to the Lord. Let's actually read from verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel. Now you know what we're talking about here. They wanted a king. The thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And I want you to get the heart of God here. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected you. They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Guys, tell you what. Remember the scripture says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He longs for you. He longs for you to know how much you mean to Him. He longs to have that intimate relationship with you. He longs to hear your sweet voice. He thinks your voice is amazing. Even when you wake up in the morning, it's all groggy. You know, that's the voice He wants to hear. He thinks it's amazing. Are you going to be like the children of Israel? Are you going to turn your back? Are you going to give Him a hard time? Or are you going to embrace His love? And are you going to say, come on, Dad, let's do this. Get up in the morning saying, good morning. I say good morning to Him every day. I say, morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Every day. That's how I start my day. And then I just chat to Him randomly throughout the day. And I tell you what, to Him it is absolutely precious. When I say to you, you don't have any clue how much you are loved. If you really knew how much you mean to Him, it would change your perception forever. It would change the way you think. It would change the way you pray. It would change the way you deal with the enemy. Because you'd know you got victory. You'd know when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, guess what? Dad is right with you. He's the biggest deal right there. So what reason should you have to be afraid? Please explain that to me. Help me understand. So when I say to you, God loves you, just think about what He had to put up with. think about how the children of Israel gave him a hard time, and yet he's still with them. Because his love endures from generation to generation to generation. We saw the plural generations. And it doesn't matter how ugly and how nasty you can get, he's not throwing you away. You are worth way too much. Like I said, you don't even know. You are kings and queens unto him. That's a reality. That is not going anywhere. Now we're going to have to end on that note. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for loving us unconditionally the way you do. Thank you for taking all of us up to a higher level of intimacy with you. We want that deeper relationship with you, Lord. We want to see you as love 24 hours a day, well, as much as we are awake. We want to have that confidence in the one who loves us. Help us to see it by your precious Holy Spirit. Help us walk in a higher realm of the love that you have for us. Help us have a deeper relationship with you. And I'm praying for even those who are watching on YouTube. Thank you for so much that you do for us. Help us to see the things that you do, even things that we miss. Open up our eyes and let it be a lesson for us to see how much you really love us until it absolutely saturates our spirit and our soul. And we can see, man, God really does love us. Only you can do that. Only you can remove the veil. Now we love you, but we know 1 John chapter 4 verse 19 says, you loved us first. That's just the way it is. Thank you for that. Thank you for being with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And like we always say, remember, faith comes by hearing.
So keep on hearing.
That's a wrap.
Hey everyone, if you enjoyed today's podcast, feel free to let us know by contacting us via our Telegram channel, Trevor Van Vieren Ministries, or send us a message on our Facebook account. And if you liked what our ministry is doing, why not partner up with us and sow into God's vision, which is to bring a printed copy of our newspaper to every house in our city. All funds are used to increase the print run and reach more houses with the good news of Jesus Christ. You can sow via our website at www.thedailywitness.co.za. There you will find a tab called Sow Into a Vision. If you are inside of South Africa, you can use the option of SnapScan. You can download this app free of charge from Play Store or iTunes. If you are outside of South Africa, you can use our option of Give and Gain. We thank you for your faith and generous support. Remember, we love you and Jesus loves you.